All right. Well, today we begin a new series, and we're going to be going through a series through the book of, or the letter of 1 John. And the series title is called As Christ Loved Us. As Christ Loved Us. If you're not able to see, it's just at the very bottom here in smaller letters, As Christ Loved Us. And the pastors, we get together every week. And we talk about the sermon, and we also plan for future series. And we thought it was important, as we're praying and thinking about what would God want us to speak to our people about. We're thinking about the pandemic. We're thinking about the idea of how we went online since mid-March. We've been thinking about how we've been away from each other, and we haven't been able to meet with each other, and for some people, there's this growing desire of like, oh, I really want to get together with other people. I really want to come together again and fellowship with other people. And whereas there are other people that are suffering and struggling, just being at home and not able to meet with people, there are other people that are very comfortable and really enjoy this time where they don't have to come to the church building to have worship together. And perhaps some of us are facing different kinds of temptation because we don't have to be surrounded by other believers on a weekly basis. And so there are all kinds of different ways that people have been dealing with this situation where we're not able to meet together, and it's because of the pandemic that's going on. And so through our new series, what we want to do is we want to encourage everyone. We want to encourage everyone that is a part of our church, maybe even newcomers that are tuning in today. We want to encourage everyone to keep looking to Jesus. Through our series, we want to say, keep looking to Jesus and let that lead into a heart and a desire to love one another and to care for each other, to reach out and to begin to contact one another and to love one another. And so the title is, As Christ Loved Us. We want to, as we learn more about Christ, as we're reminded about looking to Christ, that as we remember what Christ did for us, as he loved us, that we in turn would begin to love one another. Now, I just want to let you know that throughout this series, we're going to be going through the book of 1 John. And if any of you are familiar with 1 John, 1 John is a little bit difficult to understand for some people because it doesn't work in a, his logical flow is not in a linear fashion. He doesn't say point one, and that's why it leads to point two, and that's why point three, and therefore point four. He doesn't speak in this way. He uses this method, and this is a word that the Bible Project Online uses. He uses this method called amplification, or in other terms, he uses this circular way of explaining things. And not to say that he doesn't have a point. He definitely has a point. But the idea is that he talks about an idea and then he expands on it and then he expands on it and it seems like he's repeating himself, but he expands on it and he gets to a certain point and he does this to really show and emphasize this one main idea. And in 1 John, there are two main ideas. The two main ideas is look to the Lord and believe and trust in Jesus Christ. And the other main idea is that we need to love one another. And that's what we want to do through this series. So why don't we turn our Bibles today to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. And we're going to be reading all the way to chapter 2, verse 6. And so if you do have your Bibles with you, I encourage you guys to open up your Bibles in front of you, whether it be on your phone or an actual Bible, because there will be times that I refer back to the verses, and it'll be good if you have your Bible in front of you. And we won't always have all the verses on the screen, so I encourage you to actually have a Bible open in front of you. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. This is the reading of God's Word. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it, and testified to it, and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. By this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Amen. Do you love God, but have trouble with the church? Do you love God, but have trouble with people? I've seen or heard terrible, terrible sins in the church. And it makes the church really unattractive to be a part of. Let me give you some examples from my own personal experience. Things that I've seen with my own eyes or things that I've heard about in my church with my own ears. For example, there are terrible sins that are going on in the church all the time. For example, two elders getting into a fist fight right after church. I saw it with my own eyes. Or an elder standing in the middle of the service to accuse a pastor. Or a deacon fighting with another lady, and they got into a fist fight, or it's not a fist fight, they were pulling hair in the middle of service, and one person pulled the other person's hair out, and you could see a bald spot on the head. I've seen these kinds of things. And there are more extreme cases that exist out there that I've personally seen, but I'm sure some of you guys have also heard and maybe even experienced yourselves. There are all sorts of reasons why people may say that they love God and they believe in Jesus Christ, but they just don't like the church. They just don't like being a part of the people that are there, because it's very, very possible, and maybe some of you guys have already experienced being hurt or experiencing some type of pain because of other people in the church. So what's the result? Some people end up deciding to leave. Some people leave the church, and maybe for some of them, they really believe that they are mature believers in the Lord. Some of them are missionaries that say they believe in the Lord and they want to serve the Lord, but being a part of a church, I don't know if I want to do that. And it's not just this, though, where people are not loving one another or caring for one another in the church. It might just be the idea that we don't really care about each other. We might come and attend the church, but we just don't really care about each other. Like, we love God, we love Jesus Christ, but we don't really think about the people in our church. We don't really think about the people that we sit next to week after week. And so it doesn't really matter for us how much we get involved in the church. That's just one of the results that comes out of it. I just want to ask, is this what God intended for us? Is it that God really wants us just to love him and to have this personal relationship with him, but not really have a relationship with other people? Is that what God intended for us? Well, the main idea for today is that we would have a relationship with God, and that will lead to relationships with others. Let me say it again. A relationship with God will lead to relationships with other people. And I'm talking about specifically not just any other people out there. I'm talking about with other people in your church, in our church. And the three ways that we're going to talk about it is, number one, relationship with God and with others will bring joy. And that's the title for today's sermon. Not yet. The title for today's sermon is that our joy may be complete. And so the first point is that relationship with God and with others will bring joy. And the second point is that relationship with God and with others sometimes does not bring joy. And number three, relationship with God and with others through Jesus will bring joy. All right, so let me repeat that. The main idea for today is that a relationship with God will lead to relationships with others. The first point, relationship with God with others will bring joy. The second point, relationship with God and with others may not necessarily always bring joy. And number three, relationship with God and with others will bring joy only through Jesus. So let's talk about the first point. The first point is relationship with God and with others will bring joy. And I want to talk about it with these three points. And with each major point, there are going to be these three points that I go over. And I'm going to reverse them and I'm going to bring them back together. But we're going to be talking about these three ideas within each major point. So relationship with God and with others will bring joy. Now, as we begin at the beginning of the chapter, it says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life. Now, it starts off by talking about Jesus Christ. This is what it's talking about. In verse 1, it's talking about Jesus Christ. And the first point here is that we need to be seeking, or we need to have a relationship with God. Now, it's really interesting when John speaks. John was one of the original apostles, one of the original disciples of Jesus. And what he's saying here is really an incredible thing. What he says is that, I saw Jesus. I heard Jesus. I heard his voice. I was able to touch him. I saw the scars on his hand even after he rose from the dead. I saw his resurrected body. I saw it. I heard his voice. I touched him. It's real. And I'm writing to you now to tell you that it's real. Right? If you received a letter or an email from a close friend of yours, and they told you about this incredible event that happened, and they're saying, it's real, it really happened. I mean, some of us, we may not really believe our friends, I don't know. but some of us, when we hear what our friends tell us, especially if they're a close friend, we think, wow, I believe it's true. Although it's incredible, and I don't know if I could really believe it if someone else told me, but because you told me, I believe it. What John is saying here is, look, you guys know me. And I'm telling you, even though you never saw it, even though you never saw the resurrection, even though you never saw Jesus Christ yourself, I'm writing to you right now to tell you that it really did happen. And because Jesus is alive, you can have a relationship with him. But he doesn't stop there. Having a relationship with God doesn't just stop with you and God alone, but it leads to having a relationship with others. It leads to wanting to actually care for others. In verse 2, it says this, the life was made manifest. Okay, so it's talking about Jesus. Jesus was actually seen. He was actually made known. The life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you The eternal life here is talking about Jesus. We proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. You see what John is doing? John is saying, I saw Jesus and I had a relationship with Jesus. But not only that, I also want to share about Jesus with you. I care about you enough to tell you something that I found to be wonderful and great. It's something that I just enjoy so much, this relationship with God, that I want to share with you. If you didn't care about the other person, you wouldn't care to share with them, right? If you just saw someone on the street and you just found some money, you wouldn't share with them that you found some money. But you'll go home and you might share with a friend or you might share with a family member about how you found money. And so when you care about a person, when you have a relationship with God and it's something wonderful that you have, then it would lead you to want to share this with other people. And so having a relationship with God will lead to caring about other people. Now, in verse 3, it goes on. And it says, that which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. So I just want to pause here for a moment and talk about this idea of fellowship. What is fellowship? Fellowship is simply, if I were to say it in the simplest terms, fellowship is caring for each other. First and foremost, by helping each other look to the Lord. Okay, but that could come out in all kinds of forms. Helping each other financially, helping each other move houses, helping each other to understand how to get by in this world. It could come out in all kinds of forms, helping each other out through difficult circumstances that we face. But it's first and foremost, fellowship first and foremost, is the idea of caring for each other by helping each other look to the Lord. So here in verse 3, it talks about not only am I proclaiming it to you, but because I proclaim it to you, it causes us to have fellowship with one another. And it says, and indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. When we have this relationship with God, it causes us to reach out to other people, and it causes us to have a relationship with them. But then, not only that, it causes us all together to have a relationship with one another, and that shows that we are also together having a relationship with God, the Father, and with Jesus Christ. And so, one way that I try to share this idea with my own children is that we pray for unbelievers and we pray for believers alike. And every night before we go to sleep, when I ask my kids to pray, they include this in their prayers also. So one of my daughters would pray and she would say, we pray for our family and that we would come to know the Lord more. And we also pray for the people on the street, that they would come to know more and please protect them from the coronavirus. You see, the more we have this relationship with the Lord, the more it begins to cause us to think about how can I bring this wonderful truth to other people out there, and I begin to care for them with regard to that. But it doesn't stop there. What the Bible tells us here is that in verse 4 it says, and we are writing these things to you so that, and I want to understand this verse 4 as the whole letter. We're writing these things to you so that our joy may be complete. So having a relationship with God will lead to having a relationship with other people and this desire to care for other people. And again, I'm talking specifically about people within the church, because that's what John emphasizes over and over again, people within the church. And when we do have that, when we do have this wonderful relationship with each other, it leads to joy Verse 4 again, and we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. And I want to let you know that this is really possible. This can happen in our church, where we come together week after week, whether it be online or in person, where we come together and there will be joy as we're reaching out to each other, as we're really caring for each other, as we begin to know how to pray for each other. And when we come together, we missed each other. Even those 1 week that we've been apart from each other, we miss each other. And we have this feeling, oh man, I can't wait until it's Sunday. I can't wait until I can worship the Lord again with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I can't wait because it's just a wonderful place to be. I've experienced it before. And I know that some of you have experienced it yourselves. But for some of us, maybe for a lot of us, we hear this, that it leads to joy. We hear this and we think, there's something wrong about this. It doesn't sound quite right, because sometimes when I go to church, I don't feel that joy. And so we go to the next point. The next point is that a relationship with God and others, oh, I guess I didn't change it. A relationship, what it's supposed to say on top, oh, no, no. Yes, let's go to the next one. Next one. Let's keep going. Right here. This is the one I'm talking about. Relationship with God and others will not always bring joy. Relationship with God and others will not always bring joy. In fact, relationship with others in the church may bring hurt and sorrow. And perhaps in our church, sometimes we don't really experience joy. We don't really experience that excitement of being a part of the church, because there's a lot of judgmental people in the church. Maybe because there's a lot of people that are gossiping. There are slanderers, people that talk bad about you. Maybe it's because you don't really feel loved by other people. People aren't really reaching out to you. And why do we feel this way? Why do we feel like so discouraged by the church? Because you're just walking past each other. You can go to a shopping mall, no one cares about you, and you don't really feel discouraged or anything like that. You could go to a supermarket, and you don't really feel discouraged. But then why do we come to church, and why do we feel discouraged in the church? Well, if we look to verse 5, it says, this is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Perhaps in our minds, we have an idea. All of us have some kind of idea that if God exists, then God is a perfect God, and he'd be a good God. And if a church exists that worships that God, then the church should be a place where it represents what God is like. But when I come into the church, I don't see that. And so I feel discouraged. And people begin to think, look at all these hypocrites here. They say they're supposed to be loving, but they're not. They say they're supposed to be worshiping God, but look at their lives. And people point out that there are hypocrites in the church. And if we continue on in our verses today, it says in verse 6, if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And so in some ways, all those people that look to the church and say, you guys are hypocrites. You guys don't represent what God is saying in his word. In some ways, what they're saying is true. They come to our church and they don't experience joy because we are hypocrites. It's just like what it's saying in this verse. If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, and this doesn't have to mean like we're in terrible sin. Basically what this is pointing to, this is John's way of amplifying, building a case, going, repeating an idea to get to the main point. And the main point, like I said, which we'll be talking about more and more throughout the series, is that walking in darkness has to do with not loving your brother and sister in Christ. And so as long as we're not caring for each other, as long as we're not concerned about what's going on in each other's lives, as long as we're not thinking about how we can serve one another, we're walking in darkness, according to what John is saying here. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. And I'm sure that all of you have seen all kinds of things in the church that are terrible. Or you may have come to the church, our church, for the first time, and you didn't feel like you were welcome. You didn't feel like you were being loved. And it was just a very difficult church to become a part of. And I've seen all kinds of terrible things in the church. I gave some examples earlier. And maybe for some people different things, like let me just go through a quick list of things that maybe some people have experienced. I've shared my story in the past about how some boys in the youth group, they used to spit on other people's shoes or give other kids wet willies. If you don't know what a wet willy is, it's just they lick their finger and then they stick it in other people's ears. It happened to me. There were all those guys in my past, those gangsters who would come to retreats and they would just come just to hang out and have fun. And they weren't really there for the retreat. There are those guys that also who came out to the church, other guys that came out to the church, and they didn't do anything to help. They didn't do anything. They didn't serve in any way. And so for me, I started feeling, if no one helps, then why should I help? Why should I serve? There was a situation where, and this is my personal experience, there was a situation where a brother started liking this other sister that I liked, and I didn't like him for it. There was a situation like that. Now, granted, that some of these situations are that happened in my youth group years, but even afterwards, there are other situations where people would come out to church and they wouldn't necessarily come into the service, but they would stay outside of the doors and they'll just talk the whole time. And some people might be asking, what are they even here for then if they're just going to be talking and they're not going to be in the service? Or there was that one sister in my past, again, this was like over 15 years ago, who would talk bad about me. Or there was that leader who showed no grace to me, and he was not kind at all. Or that group of people who would just always joke around and laugh and make fun of people, and they'd always be talking about other people. All these kinds of situations, all these kinds of people that just makes the church unattractive. And I have to take a step back as I think about all those people. And some people would hear me talking about all those other people and say, well, you're doing the same thing. Aren't you being judgmental? And there were people like that. And I have to admit, I was being judgmental. And that's why there are a lot of people in the past that would just look at me and say, oh, Peter, you're just too holy for us. You're just too much of a goody two-shoes. And we don't want to have anything to do with you. You're a hypocrite. And I have to admit that I did do that. I was a hypocrite. And because of people like me, people come into our church, and they don't really experience joy. In verse 7, it says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, the interesting thing about this verse is that, remember what it said in verse 6? If we say we have fellowship with him, the Father, as he is in the light, or if we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie. And then in verse 7 it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with, and you would expect it to say, we have fellowship with God. But it doesn't. It says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. If we were to just kind of reverse that a little bit, basically, another way to say that is not caring for others. Again, walking in darkness, not caring for others, not seeking fellowship with others, is equivalent to walking in darkness, and that means that you're not actually having fellowship with the Father. So, there's no joy in the church, and it doesn't lead, it does not lead to caring for others. As long as people are experiencing no love, no joy, nothing like that in the church, it doesn't help. It doesn't produce anything. It just leads to more darkness. It just leads to more people not caring for each other. And so if I were to make that second point again, basically the idea is that even though we might say we are Christians, even though we might say that we are believers, but if we're not caring for each other, if we're not taking extra steps to consider other people in our church, if we're not thinking about how they're doing while we're apart from each other, and I know this is strong, this is a strong statement, but what John is saying is that you're walking in darkness. By not loving one another, you are walking in darkness. Why do we do this? And let me just say again, I admit that I do this. But why do we do this? Why are we not able to care for one another here? Why are we not able to be so considerate about one another here? Why? Because, number one, of no relationship with God. In the following verses it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. I want to be clear. When I say that the reason why we don't do this is because we don't have a relationship with God, what I'm not saying is that you are not a Christian. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that you're not admitting your sins. You're not admitting your wrongs. A lot of times I don't admit my sins and admit my wrongs and come before God continually to continue to have a relationship with Jesus Christ and say, I need you in my life. I need you because I know I am a sinner. I need you in my life. A lot of times it's easy not to admit our sins. And that's especially the case when we're talking about sins that have to do with interpersonal relationships. If something went wrong between me and another person, it's very difficult to go to that person and say, yeah, I was wrong. I'm sorry about that. And it's especially difficult when in your heart you're just fighting and fighting and you feel like, no, this is unjust. I know I'm right. I know I'm right. But this is exactly what this verse is talking about, these verses. It says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Now, I want to just ask a couple questions, just to do a test. Just to see, are we really loving one another? Are we really seeking fellowship with one another? Are we really caring for one another? Try to answer this question in your own head. How many people do I know in this church? Right? Do you know what I'm asking? If I don't know that many people, if I'm not really reaching out to people, that means that I'm not really caring for those people. Or another question. How many people do I want to reach out to? Do I even have that desire? Or how about another question? Am I concerned enough about how the leaders are doing to ask them questions? Or another one. Am I thinking about how I can give more or serve more to this church to really help and care and minister to other people in our church? For some people that hear these questions, it's a dagger. It's like a conviction that comes in, and it makes you think, wow, maybe I'm not really caring for other people in our church. But for some people, you might take it as more like a burden. It's like, oh man, it just seems like you're putting more pressure on me to have to do some of these things. And that may be true in the sense that you have that burden type of feeling, and it saps all the joy. It saps all the joy when we're almost forced to have to care for each other. It saps us of all the joy. There's no joy in that. And that's what brings us to our third point. And that is a relationship with God. Yeah, let's just skip all that. Let's skip all that. Yeah. Relationship with God and with others will bring joy. And it'll only bring joy if it's through Jesus Christ. And so I flipped it back again. We want to start about this idea about a relationship with God. You know, every single day, every single moment of our lives, we have to be wrestling and struggling to have this relationship with God. And if you know about God, if you know about Jesus Christ and what he's done for us, it's not a struggle, it's a joy. It's a joy to want to meet with the Lord and to confess our sins and say over and over again, I need you, I need you. Because this is what John wants to remind us of in the very next verses. In chapter 2, verse 1, it says, my little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Basically, Jesus is saying, or John is saying here, John is saying, we're writing these things to you so that you would not sin. In the sense that you would not care for other people. Now, a question that someone might have is, how are we supposed to not sin? And if we're not supposed to sin, then we have a church that's filled with people that are sinners, and John's letter is not working. But let me just remind you of the very verses right before. Right before it says, if you do sin, then confess your sins, because he's faithful and just to forgive us. John is not saying you won't have sin, but John is saying that all of your sins are taken away through Jesus Christ if you keep turning back to Jesus. Now I want to point to this next verse. It says, if we could turn to the next slide, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for our sake he made him, Jesus Christ, to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Jesus became sin for us. He took all of our sin upon him, and he gives us his righteousness. And so that when we try to live this Christian life, it's not about us trying to be perfect, but it's about how we strive to be more and more like Christ, continually failing, but constantly turning back to Jesus, because he is our righteousness. I'm not able to bring up my own righteousness. I'm not able to make my own righteousness. Jesus is my righteousness. And then he goes on in verse 2. It talks about what Jesus Christ did for us. He is the propitiation. This is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 2. So I ask you to look to your Bibles. 1 John chapter 2, verse 2 says, he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. You see that? Not only is the good news for me, but as soon as I have this relationship with God because of Jesus Christ, because of what he's done, he's turned away God's wrath. That's what the word propitiation is talking about. He's turned away God's wrath, and he's made us into heirs, children of God, so that we can have this relationship with God. But that leads into caring for other people in Jesus Christ. It says that it's not only for our sins, but also for the sins of the whole world. So as we think about each other, we don't have to expect perfection from each other. Because when I think about other people, the times that I get discouraged is when I see something bad that someone else is doing where it doesn't seem like they're following Christ. Right? That's when I may get discouraged. Or when I don't feel like people are loving me, that's when I may get discouraged. But if I were to take my eyes off of myself and I think about that other person, that person, listen to me carefully here. That person is a wretched sinner who Jesus Christ saved. Just like I am a wretched sinner who Jesus Christ saved. And if I could get that in my mind, that every person that calls themselves a Christian, every person that really puts their hope and faith in Jesus Christ, everyone that is part of this church that is saying, I believe in Jesus Christ, that they are a wretched sinner, and it's possible that they would sin against me, but Jesus Christ died for their sins. Just the same way that I am a wretched sinner and I may end up hurting other people, but Jesus Christ died for my sins. And so I want to care for this other person to point them to Jesus Christ, that even though they sinned against me, I am able to forgive them just as Christ forgave me. I am able to forgive them and point them to Jesus Christ and say, look, your sins are forgiven. I won't hold this against you. And it'll be the same thing done for me. Through Jesus, we're able to begin to care for one another because of what Jesus Christ did for us. And lastly, this will lead to joy. It says this, starting in verse 3, and by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Keep that in mind. If we keep his commandments. What is his command? It doesn't say explicitly here, but it'll, for those of you that have a Bible open, starting in verse 7, it talks about a new commandment. And if you turn over to chapter 3 and chapter 4, it brings this idea over and over again. The command that John is talking about is the command to love one another. And so this is what it says in chapter 2, verse 3. Whoever says, and by this we know that we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word in him, truly the love of God is perfected. And by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked. Okay, let me just read that one more time. I just kind of read through it really quickly. But let me read through that one more time. And by this we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commandments. Whoever says, I know him, but does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him truly the love of God is perfected. You see that? If we keep his command to love one another, then his love is perfected. And by this we may know that we are in him. Whoever says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which Jesus Christ walked. As Christ loved us, we also walk in the same way that he loved us. He laid down his life for us. we ought to also lay down our lives for one another. We need to love one another in this way. And so I want to point to this other verse in John chapter 15. It says, "As the Father has loved me," this is Jesus speaking, "as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full." And in verse 12 it says, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." Jesus says it right here clearly, and John says it over and over. If we have a relationship with God, it will lead us to have relationship with one another. It will cause us to want to love one another. And it is possible. It will happen. Jesus says, "Do this so that my joy may be in you." It will lead to joy through Jesus. Now, I know a lot of time has passed, and so I want to quickly go through some practical applications. So I think I might have a slide for this. Next page. Yeah. So just real quick, how do we begin to have joy, and how do we begin to love one another? First one is to recognize and admit your own sin. And there may be situations where you have been in a situation where it's kind of awkward between you and another person. There may be a situation where you've hurt one another. Or maybe there might be a situation where you don't really feel comfortable around that person. Or you kind of feel like that person is weird and you want to keep a distance from that person. Or you don't really even care about that person. You don't want to have anything to do with that person. Or you don't even care to think that you don't want to have anything to do with that person. First step is to recognize and admit your own sin. Second thing is remember the gospel. Remember what Christ has done for us. And rest in what he's done for us. Remember that Jesus Christ is our advocate and that his righteousness has been given to us. The third, recognize that others are also sinners saved by Jesus. Recognize that they need Jesus also, not just one time to become a Christian, but they need Jesus every day. And so that we need to continue to point people back to Jesus Christ. And so when there are situations where you are hurt, number four, choose to either overlook the offense or to actually address the offense. However the Lord is leading you, it's possible just to overlook an offense. And if needed, it's possible to go and address the offense. But don't keep that offense or that difficult situation between you and another person just in your heart, where it begins to grow and fester and it becomes something that you become bitter over and it just overtakes you. Don't let that happen. Choose to overlook or address the situation. And number five, choose to forgive and choose to begin to start reaching out to other people in our church. Let's pray at this time. Take a moment to